Join us now for more Low Notes in High Places with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, Hilary Pritchard, and the men from the Ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. In the General Assistance Department, as in other government offices, senior officials work long hours at high pressure. It's hardly surprising if sometimes the pace begins to tell and a top executive has a day off sick. On his return, anxious colleagues look to see if all is well.
Ah, oh, you're back, Joe.
Yes, feeling better?
Yes, thank you, Ron. Oh, I woke up yesterday with a ringing in my ears, so we had the doctor round and he said he didn't like the look of me.
That's understandable.
He ordered a week in bed and said he'd call and see me every day.
You thought it was serious?
No, he thought I was a private patient. When he found I was National Health, he gave me half an aspirin and sent me back to work.
Well, you look all right, I must say. What about the ringing in your ears?
Ah, I realized later it was next door's phone. They've only just had it installed.
Silly of me to ask.
Did I miss anything? Mildred says we've got a new job. Something about old relics.
Ah, we've been asked by the Ministry of Arts and Sciences to help set up the new exhibition at the British Museum. Antiquities of Ancient Egypt.
I say, sort of son of Tutankhamen.
Well, you might put it like that.
Yes.
You were feeble-minded. Ah, yes, there'll be costumes and weapons and chariots from the time of the pharaohs. We have to arrange import formalities, you see. Luckily, I'm something of an expert on the period.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Yes, I read all about it in the magazine at my hairdresser's.
Will there be any mummies?
Indeed. The centerpiece of the whole exhibition will be the mummy of Queen Tumtiti.
Mm.
She was after Tutankhamen, of course.
But I suppose she married someone else. It's always the way.
Quite astounding. There was writing and painting all over her sarcophagus.
Ah, that explains it. He didn't like tattooed ladies.
Queen Tumtiti was an empress consort surrounded by infinite wealth. At her funeral, it took 20 men to carry the bier.
I dare say the climate made everyone thirsty.
What are you talking about, too?
I have no idea.
Guess what? It's a nice fresh pot.
Ah, tea. Thank you, Mildred.
Mr. Lennox Brown's been telling me all about the exhibition. It sounds very exciting.
Well, I reckon it's a waste of government money. I wish they'd spend it on office equipment. It's a blooming disgrace, the conditions we work in.
Oh, I don't know. I got a new chair last month.
Well, you had to have one, didn't you? I mean, your seat had sagged and your legs were wobbling. But no one bothers about me. I mean, what about that desk of mine?
That hasn't got wobbly legs, has it?
No, they're quite firm, really. Trouble is, there's only three of them. And not only that, my drawers are too small for what I have to put in them.
Well, that must be very awkward.
And I can't even get a new typewriter ribbon. I've been told to rub my mascara on the old one.
Ah, now, we did put in for a new typewriter ribbon, Mildred, and the permanent undersecretary agreed.
Yeah, and what did he do when it got here? He gave it to Miss Bentwalter in the typing pool. He's a little bit of overtime.
You're quite right about the office equipment. We asked for someone to hang our coats, and a man came and knocked a nail in the wall.
Not only that, it was a specially long one, so Mr. Crawley next door could use the other end.
Yeah, talking about old creepy Crawley, have you noticed he's got a nose like a bicycle seat?
Oh, excuse me, gentlemen. May I pop in for a what's his name?
Hello, Mr. Crawley. We were just talking about you.
You're right, Mildred. It is like a bicycle seat.
Now, I was wondering if I could borrow some sugar.
Oh, certainly, have a bowl.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Lamb.
Are you busy, Mr. Crawley?
Oh, yes, I am. I've been asked to organise new uniforms and equipment for London's traffic wardens.
Really?
I do admire traffic wardens telling motorists off and sticking rude notes up the what's-his-name.
Yes, well, we mustn't keep you from your work.
I'd better get on or I'll have Sir Gregory chasing me.
I doubt it. He's too busy chasing Daphne Bentwalter.
You've got to admit she's a lovely girl. Everything a man could ask for.
And Sir Gregory never stops asking for it.
Daphne, my little lotus blossom. Lovely to hear from you. And what can I do for my precious flower?
Well, you can cut out the soft soap for a start. It's over a week since we had our talk, and you said you'd do something for me. What about it?
What about it? Yeah, good idea. Just pop up to my office
Bunny,
and...
that's not what I mean. You promised you'd help my career, and you've done nothing. I'm still in this wretched typing pool.
Well, these things take a little time, my dear, but Bunny keeps his promises. There aren't any secretary's jobs vacant at the moment, so I'm going to make some changes. I think you'll do rather well in the general assistant's office.
How marvelous. That's just down the corridor from you.
Yes, my dear, I'd thought of that, yes. Well, you'll be working for Lennox Brown and Lamb, so there shouldn't be much to do. Of course, it'll mean some shifting around. And, well, I'm going along today to tell them about it. Just leave it all to me, and don't you worry your pretty little head.
Well, sir, I think that's covered the import side. The Egyptian stuff's at London docks. I've just been down to have a look at it.
What's it like?
Astonishing, astonishing. Especially the golden chariots. They're covered in hieroglyphics.
Oh, I expect it's those wretched seagulls.
Sir Gregory rang. He's on his way to see you. He said it's very important.
Oh, dear. When Sir Gregory starts shouting and screaming, I go all funny.
Never mind. It might make him laugh.
Aha, Lennox Brown, Lamb, you're both here. And you as well, Miss Murphy. Now, that's splendid. I wanted a word with all of you.
Yes, Sir Gregory, if it's about that top secret file, I think it's quite possible it might turn out.
Oh, don't fret, Lamb. I expect it can wait a little longer. We managed without it for 18 months. You know, it's Miss Murphy and I mainly have news for.
Ooh.
I've been watching your progress in the years you've been with us. I've noticed your diligence and general alacrity.
I'm sorry, sir. I'll try not to do it again.
Miss Murphy, I want you to leave this office and take up another post.
Leave this office? Go somewhere else? I couldn't, sir.
Why not?
Well, Mr. Lennox Brown here, he's like a father to me.
Thank you, Mildred.
And Mr. Lamb. Well, he's like a big sister. I mean, I couldn't walk out on them. He would be disloyal. I'll never leave them. Never.
But it's promotion, Miss Murphy. More money.
Oh. When do I start?
That's the spirit. You must leave the past behind. Broaden your horizons. You'll be an executive. Have your own office.
Oh, and a proper desk with four legs.
Five legs, if you wish. And a metal coat hanger.
One moment, Sir Gregory. Miss Murphy mustn't be rushed into this.
Perhaps she doesn't want to leave her horizons and broaden her behind.
We have to consider her long-term future, you see, her peace of mind. Besides, who'd make the tea?
Well, there'll be a replacement, of course. I'm advised there's a young girl in the typing pool, Miss Bentwater, I believe her name is, who's ripe for promotion.
Ah, Miss Bentwater, I want to write to the director of the British Museum. How's your shorthand?
Shorthand? Is that the funny squiggly writing?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, I think I can manage that.
Good, good. Now take this down. Dear sir, this will confirm that all exhibits...
Well, hang on, I haven't got a pencil.
You'd better borrow mine.
Oh, thanks.
Are you ready now?
Yes. Oh, except I haven't got anything to write on.
There's a notebook on the desk.
You are kind, Mr. Lamb.
Now then. Dear sir, this will confirm that all items for the Egyptian exhibition will be installed at the museum by 0900 hours on Monday the 24th. Yours, etc., D. Lennox Brown. Have you got that?
Almost. What came after, dear sir?
Oh, glory. All right, Miss Bentwater, just forget the whole thing.
Look, why don't we have a nice cup of tea?
Oh, lovely. Not too strong for me, and just one lump.
No, no, Miss Bentwater, we want you to make the tea.
Oh, all right, then. I'll be back in an hour.
Oh, I hope she uses a teapot this time. Last week she made it in the kettle.
I'm afraid she's hopeless, dear.
Yeah.
She can't even make conversation. Mm. You know, I happened to ask her if she watched the astronauts landing on the moon. And she said no, her bedroom faces the other way.
I can't think why Sir Gregory is so keen on her. He comes in 20 times a day.
I'll explain when you're older, too.
I came back for my umbrella yesterday evening and found them both on the floor.
Good grief. Well, what did they say?
Sir Gregory said she'd fallen off her platform shoes and he was giving her the kiss of life.
Odd girl. I've heard some astonishing stories about her. I'm told she ran away from school.
Oh, lots of girls run away from school.
Yes, but she ran away with the headmaster. No wonder her mother's worried about her.
Oh, has she been ringing up again?
Never stops. Why was Daphne late last night? What's going on in that office?
What do you say?
Well, what can I say? I tell her she's obliging Sir Gregory. The General Assistance Department, Lennox Farm.
It's Mrs. Bentwalter here.
Good afternoon.
Now, there's no call for all that smarmy talk. I know your sort, thank you very much. What's me daughter doing?
Well, I asked her to take something down for me, but I'm afraid she was rather slow.
What?
She's having trouble adjusting to this new position.
You villain! You're as bad as the picking. I know your sort, all pinstripe and po-faced. But this innocent girl in your office and it's all aims and suggestive suggestions.
Now, look here, madam.
I'm just trying to deny it, you letcher. Tell Daphne I want her home by 6 o'clock sharp. Get it?
Got it.
Good.
Oh, this is impossible, too. Rung up and abused at my own desk.
Everything's gone wrong since we lost Mildred. I wonder how she's getting on in her new office.
Well, Miss Murfin, here you are in all your glory, eh? Oh, I must say, you've got a lovely room.
Mind you, there are snags to being an executive.
Oh? What sort of snags?
Well, to start with, I don't like to get here till half past 11. It wouldn't look right.
Well, is that a snag?
Yeah. Mum turns me out of the house at half past 8. I get ever so cold sitting on the embankment.
Well, still, it's nice when you get here, isn't it?
And another thing, I've got ever such a lot of work to do.
Yeah, well, but you can't have. You're an executive.
But only an acting junior one. I've not yet been given immunity. Anyone wants anything done, they get on to me.
Well, I know what you mean. They said when I've settled this traffic warden stuff, I have to send you an action form.
Oh, everyone's sending me action forms. I'm snowed under.
They miss you in your old office. Miss Bentwater's driving them potty. And Sir Gregory's always in there. Oh, he's sending them right up the what's-his-name.
Come.
Sorry to interrupt. I know you're busy.
It's all right. We've finished the crossword.
I wondered when you're going to have lunch.
Well, that's the third time you've asked that, Miss Bentwater.
Well, it's almost 12:30.
I shan't bother with lunch today. I only finished breakfast an hour ago.
Oh, dear. Mr. Lamb, you'll be going out for lunch, won't you?
No, I'll eat in the office. My landlady packed me some bread sandwiches.
Sandwiches aren't enough for an active man like you.
You seem agitated, Miss Bentwater.
Agitated? What makes you think that?
Well, you put your lipstick in my coffee cup and you're painting your lips with a teaspoon.
Is my little puppet there, all ready and waiting for me?
Yes, Sir Gregory, I'm here.
What the devil? Why haven't you and Lamb gone to lunch, Lennox Brown?
Well, if I'm to be honest, sir, I'm a little short of money.
Oh, good heavens, I can't have my staff missing their food for something as trivial as cash. Here, take this, Lennox Brown. I'll treat you to lunch.
20 pence, Sir Gregory.
I was always a fool with money. And now, goodbye, Lennox Brown. I don't want to lose you, but I think you ought to go.
I can't afford lunch either.
Then go for a nice, healthy walk in the park.
But it's raining, Sir Gregory.
Then take an umbrella. Now go, get out, both of you, go.
You're ever so masterful, Bunny.
Yes, that's true, that's true. Well, my dear, we got a place to ourselves. A chance to escape this mundane world for a few brief moments of ecstasy.
Do you think we should?
Yes.
But what if Mummy rings up again? She says if she catches us together, she'll write to the Sunday paper.
Oh, don't let your mother spoil an hour of innocent fun. And tonight you can come to my flat for a bite.
Oh, lovely. Will I get something to eat as well?
Ah, the infernal thing. I suppose I'd better answer it. Hello?
Ah, so you're in there. That's the Gregory, isn't it?
Oh, Cor blimey, no. This is the hall porter. The hall porter. So it is. Struth.
I want to speak to Sir Gregory Picking.
Well, I'm out. He's out. Cor love a duck. Stone the flipping crows.
Well, you tell Sir Gregory from me that if I catch him hanging round my daughter, I'll come up there and ruin his prospects.
Oh, very good. Yes, I'll tell him you rang. Not off, I won't.
that was Mummy, wasn't it?
Yes, you're right, Daphne. She's beginning to come between us. Lucky we're getting away for the weekend.
Are we?
What didn't I tell you? I booked us a couple of days in Paris at the Hotel Splendide.
The Hotel Splendide?
That's right, yes. I've taken the Napoleon suite so we shan't be disturbed. Look, here's the hotel brochure. You can see how luxurious it is.
Oh, it's beautiful. Cocktail bar, colored fountain.
And that's only the lift.
But if Mummy found out, she'd kill us both.
Yes, yes, I believe she would. However, I've had an idea for dealing with Mummy.
I tell you, Joe, I can't put up with that Bentwater girl much longer. Look how she's typed this letter. It starts, "Dead sir."
I asked her for the confidential file, and she said she was using it on her nails.
Good morning, you two. Now, I have an urgent problem.
I'm sure Miss Bentwater will help, sir, but she isn't here at the moment.
No. This is a matter for you. It concerns Miss Bentwater's mother. She's become a blasted nuisance, ringing up every 5 minutes with threats of scandal and physical violence.
Indeed, sir.
Well, she seems to think there's something going on between me and her daughter.
Oh.
In fact, of course, my only concern is to develop the girl's potential.
It's quite well developed already, sir.
Be quiet, Lamb. I need Miss Bentwater to accompany me on business trips. She's extremely fast and obliging. But Joe says Mummy wouldn't like it.
Very tricky, sir.
Well, I've had enough. I want you to do something about Mummy.
Contact the Mafia?
Oh, don't be absurd. Don't be absurd. We don't know their address. No, I want you to send her away.
Send her away? But where?
Anywhere. The further the better. Just get her off my back. Give her a holiday. I'll pay, of course.
You will, sir?
Well, it'll come out in ministry expenses. That's almost the same thing. No, I shall be away myself this weekend, so I'm off now to find my baggage.
She's making the tea, sir.
What did you say, Lamb?
My colleague asked if you'd like a cup of tea, sir.
No time limit expired. I'll be back early next week.
Where on earth can we send Mrs. Bentwater?
Just a minute. Someone's left a brochure on the desk. Hotel Splendide, Paris.
Oh, what a good idea. We'll send her there. Oh, Sir Gregory will be pleased. He said the further the better, and there's nowhere further than Paris.
Yeah. Says on the front, "The height of luxury, book the Napoleon suite." Well, that ought to suit her.
But how can we persuade her to go?
Now, I have rather a brilliant idea on that. Now, let me see. What's her number, I wonder? Oh. Hello, General Assistant Department, Lennox Brown.
Mrs. Bentwater here.
Oh, how fortunate, madam. Yes, I was just about to ring you. I have good news.
Oh, yes?
You're a very lucky lady. Yes, you've won first prize in the civil service raffle.
But I didn't buy a ticket.
That just shows how lucky you are. Yes, your prize, Mrs. Bentwater, is a weekend holiday in a smart hotel. A car will pick you up tomorrow.
Oh, this is a surprise.
Your weekend will be full of surprises. Everything's taken care of, and the driver has full details.
Well, thank you very much, I'm sure.
Not at all. Enjoy yourself. Goodbye.
It worked, fun. Well done.
Thank you, too. I suppose one has a certain flair. Yeah. Now, come on. There are bookings to be made, car to be ordered, and so on. Mildred does that sort of thing now, so send her an action form.
Yes.
Oh, and remind her to contact the British Museum. Hmm? The Egyptian stuff will go there tomorrow, ready for Monday's opening.
Couldn't you do that one?
No. I'm off on a long weekend in the country. Yes, with my friends, the Smedley Burkes, you know. Yes. Well, I'm sure you can cope, too. Of course. See you on Monday.
He's having a long weekend, all right. It's only Thursday morning. Well, a note to Mildred about Miss Bentworth's mother. Now then. Mummy giving trouble must be sent to Paris at once. Hotel Splendide with us.
Morning, Mr. Lennox Brown. Did you have a nice weekend with your friend, Mr. Smelly Burke?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Crawley. And actually, it's Medley Burke.
Yeah, well, I knew it was some Burke. I've just been talking to Mildred Murphy, and she seems to be helping everyone. She organized my traffic warden's equipment, and she handled my what's-his-name.
Indeed.
Oh, and she's done some jobs for your office. She asked me to give you these counterfoils.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, well, here's my door. See you later.
Not if I see you first. Now then, how did Mildred get on? Good grief.
Morning, man. Did you enjoy your weekend? Oh, you obviously didn't. You've gone all white and your moustache is drooping.
It's these counterfoils. Those jobs you gave to Mildred.
What is it, man? Your glasses have steamed up.
Look at this. She's mixed up the mummies.
Mixed up the mummies?
She sent the mummy of Queen Tumtiti to Paris instead of Miss Bentwater's mummy.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Is that all you've got to say? The exhibition opens today. There'll be VIPs and TV cameras. Queen Tumtiti's mummy is supposed to be the central attraction, and it isn't there. We've got under an hour to find a substitute. Oh, hello, Lennox Brown.
Mrs. Bentwater here. What's happened to my free holiday?
Oh.
A car came for me Friday, like you say.
Yes.
Well, it was more of a van, really. And it brought me to the British Museum. I've been stuck here ever since. In a section marked Ancient Relics. What's going on?
There's been a slight error, but please stay where you are. I need your help.
Stay at the museum? What for?
I'll give you the details when I get there. Suffice to say, this is a real emergency, and I want you to become a mummy.
Perfect, your pardon?
I'm desperate, madam.
How dare you?
I'd like you to lie down, that's all. It won't take long. Just to keep the VIPs happy.
You're raving mad, you are. You want to be locked up.
Oh, I don't think she's going to cooperate. There's only one thing for it, too. You'll have to pose as the mummy.
Yes, there we go. What? Me? I could never be a mummy.
Well, nothing's impossible if you really try. Quick, go and get lots of bandages from the first aid cupboard. I'll order the minister car. There isn't a moment to lose.
Well, viewers, as you've probably gathered, this is Forth Robinson here. And I'm at the British Museum for the newly opened Egyptian exhibition. Beside me in a glass case lies the main attraction, the mummy of Queen Tumtiti. A truly remarkable sight, this ancient yellow face recalling time long past. Well, I have with me Mr. Derek Lennox Brown, one of the exhibition organizers.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Lennox Brown, one thing surprises me about this strange old queen.
What? Oh, the mummy, yes. Something surprises you?
Yes, the binding is somewhat loose just there. And through the gap, it looks rather as though the queen wears pinstripe trousers.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right, yes. Perhaps it's not generally known that pinstripe trousers originated in ancient Egypt.
Really? Uh-huh. Well, viewers, there are several surprising features to the show. For instance, there's an extensive display of ancient Egyptian costumes. But I must say, in all honesty, they look very like traffic wardens' uniforms.
Mildred, how could you? There are mile-long queues outside the museum and the inside looks like a traffic warden's cloakroom.
I'm ever so sorry, sir. I must have got your forms mixed up with Mr. Crawley.
Now, what about Mr. Lamb? Having to lie in that case 9 hours a day. I just hope he's cut down his morning tea.
He'll be all right, sir. I expect he'll fall asleep like he does in the office.
And that priceless mummy sent to some French hotel? If Sir Gregory ever found out, he'd go berserk.
Don't move! Anyone!
Oh, hello, Sir Gregory. Did you have a nice weekend?
Nice weekend? I went to the best hotel in Paris and found an Egyptian mummy in my bed.
Quickly, you mean you were in... It was your hotel?
I pulled back the bedclothes, and there it was, staring with ice-cold eyes.
Well, never mind, Sir Gregory. That white hair suits you.
Be quiet, Lennox Brown. Has the whole department gone mad? You put traffic warden stuff on display at the museum.
People may not notice, sir. They're being made to stand well back.
Never mind that. If the traffic warden's uniforms went to the Tumtiti exhibition, what the blazes are the traffic wardens wearing?
And here is the news read by John Curl. London's traffic wardens were on the streets today with revolutionary new uniforms and equipment. They wore golden helmets and short cotton tunics. And when accosting motorists, most began by showing their credentials. Notebooks have been replaced by papyrus scrolls and parking tickets by stone tablets. Persistent parking offenders will get one tablet three times a day. An MP who fed a meter in Parliament Square has complained to the Prime Minister that he was chased round the House of Commons by a traffic warden in a golden chariot. The warden threw a spear at the MP, injuring him in the forecourt. Experts say the traffic warden's new style seems to be ancient Egyptian. It's thought this may help the wardens to control all the tooting car men.
Oh, thank heavens you're back in our office, Mildred.
I'm not cut out to be an executive.
Miss Bentwater's not cut out to be a secretary. She's much happier back in the typing pool.
We've got away with it.
You mean we're forgiven for that tumtity boob?
Yes. Oh, yes, that's outweighed by our other two efforts. Recruitment for traffic wardens has trebled in a week.
But what about sending that mummy to Paris?
Oh, that's turned out to be a triumph as well. Yes, the French think we wanted to share our exhibition as a fraternal common market gesture. So all our problems are over.
Oh, how splendid.
We were in real trouble there, you know. But we thought fast and improvised, and it all worked out.
It just proves what I've always said, Mum.
What's that?
Necessity is the mummy of invention.
On exhibition, as the men from the Ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham and Hilary Pritchard. The program was written by Edward Taylor, Graham, and produced by Edward Taylor.